Before I start this evening, I just wanted to pass on to you that Daphne Bigley and Judy Brown have both asked this morning they would like to be identified with the church here at Malden. We will get the particulars so that you may add their addresses and phone numbers into your directories. It has been a blessing for them to be here, and the boys, Bryce and Taylor, and we're grateful they're here. So we can rejoice in that too today. The text this evening is taken from Ephesians chapter 5. It's Paul's discourse, starting in verse 22, on marriage. But in particular, I would like to read the words from verses 31 through 33. For here Paul writes, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." When I had talked with Vicki this morning about the lessons and stuff, she said, "You're not going to talk about divorce, are you?" And I said, "No, I'm not." Well, it wasn't altogether true. For one reason, it is often quoted that 50% of all marriages end in divorce. The problem is that statistic is not correct. In fact, it is reported that the divorce rate has been in decline since 1980. But no matter what the number is, though, the marriage that matters the most is your marriage. Many surveys of marriages that last longer than 30 years list things like trust, communication, laughter, and intimacy. And there are those of these aspects that truly help the marriage to last. But on almost every list, you find two words that often find their way to the top of why marriages last: love and respect. And I would also like to add a third word to that list, and that is faith. I don't mean faith in the other person, while that is also true, but I mean a faith that both people have in God. When two people are joined in desiring to live a life that honors God, the likelihood of that marriage lasting increases higher than most other attributes. In part because when two people honor God and they desire to live according to God's will and not their own will, that decision brings most of the other attributes mentioned into the marriage. This morning, we saw that love endures longer than faith and hope, and that of the three, love is the greatest. And love is seen in many ways, but love in marriage is the closest example that we have of divine love. This evening, we want to bless the marriages that are in this room. And we would love to extend the blessings of marriage to those who one day will contemplate it, and to look at the love that godly married couples have. When we let our minds run through all the marriages we find in the Bible, looking for great examples of great marriages, and what made them great is probably more difficult than we can expect. Noah and his wife, for example. We can only guess that it was a marriage based on God because of them and their children were the only ones saved. The rest of the world died in the flood. But what made that marriage great? Think for a moment the earthly parents of Jesus Christ. Joseph, according to Matthew 1 and verse 19, tells us that he was a righteous man. And Luke chapter 1 and verse 28 says that Mary was favored by God. But what about their marriage? We can't read about it because it's not there. They raised Jesus. They went to the synagogue. They attended the temple worship service when they were supposed to. But as of their marriage, we're given absolutely no information. One of the best that comes to mind is Abraham and Sarah. Now, we do know that they loved one another very deeply. But Abraham was willing to let his wife be taken by another man to save his own skin. And that is not exactly the example I want to give to my son, and probably to yours either. So I've come to two conclusions. First, there is no perfect marriage. Especially a perfect marriage that we can set ours against. So it's not in the Bible. To be honest, we can be thankful for that because we don't have to compete with someone in the Bible for the title of most godly marriage. God helps us to understand that every marriage, even the ones where both people love God with all their heart, have their ups and downs. They have their failures and achievements. The second conclusion that I have come to is that the best role model for marriage is not a husband and wife. It is Christ and the church. The relationship between Jesus and the church is the mirror for having the best human marriage a man and a woman can have. And it's that role model that shows us love and respect. In fact, the verses that I just read speaks of this great mystery. And at least part of the great mystery is the relationship between the husband and the wife. Let's center this lesson with two words that we find in verse 33. However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Love and respect. When we reflect upon how love is taught in God's Word, we know that love in marriage is the calling for a husband's actions. And for us husbands here tonight, we are not Elkanah, who had a great love for his wife Hannah. But we need to put him up there pretty high on our list of role models. Now, I'm not going to say that Elkanah was clueless, or that he didn't appreciate all the hurt that Hannah faced. But God specifically says the reason that he gave her a double portion was because that he loved her. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 5. It reads, "But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed up her womb." Now, I get that he might have asked her the wrong question in verse 8, or even said it in a way that made him look good instead of seeing her pain. But we cannot deny the fact that she was loved deeply by him. When Hannah finally had Samuel, Elkanah allowed her to stay at home, for at that time she was weaning Samuel. And they were to travel for a yearly sacrifice, but he told her to do what seems best to you. When God speaks through Paul in the book of Ephesians, we are taught that love by a husband towards his wife should be like the love that Jesus has toward his church. Love in this example is for the husbands. And it is seen by giving up yourself so that your wife will be blessed. And as you have time this week, read this discourse that Paul writes starting in verse 22 to the end. This text is leading us, men, for us to see that we need to be the spiritual guide for the family. And not just so much that our children will be baptized in every aspect of that, but so that our family, and especially our wives, will be safe in the hands of Christ. I got to admit that it's an awful high bar that God has set before us. A very high bar. Because in this world today, in the world we live in, and in our own human minds, it's very easy to become self-centered. And when we become self-centered, it becomes more difficult for us to focus more on our wives than on ourselves. But that's what love is all about. The teaching that God gives to Paul about wives is summed up in a word: respect. Men sometimes like to go to verse 22 in Ephesians 5 and on down in there and use the opening passages where they talk about to obey or to be subject to. And these words are not evil. But the summary word in all of this text is the word respect. There is a huge difference here. Love takes on many forms when trying to show it to our spouse. The example that is most used in Scripture is Sarah and her relationship with Abraham. Now, if we want to be honest, Sarah was no little woman to be bossed around. Nor did Abraham appear to think that's what love looked like. Instead, we find that Sarah had a deep respect for her husband. You can imagine the conversation they had going down to Egypt in one of the droughts, and Abraham is looking over at Sarah and says, "When we get there, I'm going to tell them that you're my sister, which was not a lie, but it was half a lie. I can imagine, which isn't recorded and probably never happened, but I think most wives would have an issue with that. What are you talking about? What are you afraid of? Are you ashamed of me? That's not what happened. Because Sarah respected her husband. Does that sometimes look like the word obey or the idea of submission? Yes, it does. But it's done because of love, not simply culture. Love is far more than emotion, but it is not devoid of emotion. When God speaks about a wife's way to connect to her husband, He uses the teaching of the church and its connection to Christ. We have no difficulty at all calling Jesus our Lord. We have no problem wanting to follow everything that He teaches us. The reason why we have no problem is because we know He loves us more than life itself. When we are that loved, respecting is not a command. It is a response. To be loved deeply causes us to give ourselves over to the one in whom we trust. Love and respect. Two words that end up really doing the same thing. The reason why a marriage is a good marriage is because people know how to love and respect each other. They look to the example of Christ in the church. They seek to grow, to give grace when the other fails. They keep Jesus as the center and want more than anything else to bring each other and their children to the throne of God. Now, there was an episode on a show that we watch, and one of the characters in the show is engaged and fixed to get married, but he's got some apprehension. And he starts to think that maybe he shouldn't get married. And he's sitting there with his friend, and they're across the table from each other. And his friend looks at him and says, "Well, don't get married." He said, "You don't need her." And the first thing the guy said, he started defending his fiance. He says, but I love her. She's the love of my life." His friend across the table just looked at him and smiled, because the guy finally realized why he was getting married. Because he found the one. Many of us have found the one many years ago. And we love them deeply. And we respect one another. See, that is the mark of a good marriage. Not that you can cohabitate with one another and the roof not get blown off the house, but that the home is a place of safety and a place of love. And the best compliment that any parents could ever have is for their children to say, I want a marriage just like you and Mom, or you and Dad. That says it all. That says it all. May your marriage be blessed as you love and respect one another and grow in the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for this institution of marriage that you gave to mankind from the very beginning. This union between a man and a woman. A union, Lord, that allows your creation to continue to grow. And while there are many out there, Lord, who have disrespected the sanctity of marriage, we know that there are many more out there who hold fast to this beautiful way of life. There is no other institution other than your church that shows as much love and respect as marriage. And we pray, Lord, that as we develop relationships, as our young people develop relationships with those they fall in love with, we pray, Lord, that you and your Son, Jesus Christ, will be the center of that relationship, that you will help them to grow in the love and respect that all marriages need. We thank you, Lord, for the example that you have set forth here through divineness in allowing Paul to pen these words. And may we take them, Lord, deeply within our hearts. And if we need to make the changes necessary to make a good marriage great, help us, Lord, to make those changes. Help us, Lord, to get over ourselves and to think about one another. We're grateful. Grateful, many of us here, that we can witness so many wonderful marriages to all the people that we have come in contact with, for those who have shown us the way, for those who, through example, have shown us what love and respect is like. So please, Lord, bless the marriages of this congregation. Please bless the marriages of all those who keep you in the center of their life and do your will explicitly, not just when it's convenient, but all the time. And we pray that our children, one day, when they are able to enter in to this relationship with whoever they find, we pray that you will bless their marriage, and that through us they will know and understand that love and respect is so important. We thank you so much, Lord, for all you do for us. And we pray that you will continue to be our guide and our stay in all things. And we ask this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. If you are not a child of God this evening, if you have not given your life over to God to obey his gospel, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. That through repentance and confession and baptism, your sins can be washed away. And if you are a child of God and you feel the need that there is something you need us to pray for, to keep you in our prayers, or to be able to comfort you in your time of need, we pray that you will also come forward as together we stand and we sing.